Genesis chapter 19, starting with verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, No, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said to him, Where are the men which came in to you this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. And Lot went out into the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, and do to them as you see is good to your eyes. Only to these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with you than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house with to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door in the house with blindness, both small and great, so they were wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said to Lot, Hast thou any besides son-in-law and sons and daughters? And whatsoever their house in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke unto the sons-in-laws and the married daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But it seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for your life, look not behind you, neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said to them, Oh, no, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified the mercy which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee to, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said to him, See, I have accepted you concerning this thing also, and I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till you be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities of all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for they feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the next day, on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and go thou in and lie with him, and we may that we may preserve seed of her father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Let's go back and see what we've got here. We ended up the 18th chapter with the Lord went his way and Abraham went his way, right? He went back to his place. And immediately there came two what? Two messengers showed up in the evening. And Lot, which represents the flesh, sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. Now look what happens here. As soon as God separated from him, there was two things came. What does two speak of? It's a witness, or it can speak of duality or a mixture. Here we're getting a witness. We've got two messengers bringing the same message. In Sodom in the evening at dusk. Now, when does the day begin? In the biblical day begins in the evening, and the evening and the morning was the day. So this is the beginning of a new day here. In the evening, and Lot sat where? In the gate or the entrance to Sodom. What does Sodom represent? A place of burning. Now, see, we always see this as a negative place. But we've got to look at this in a spiritual way. Lot was sitting at the entrance to Sodom, a place of burning. Do you know how many people likes to hang around what they call the gates of hell? Or we could call it the church. Do you know how many people like to hang around that? I think they like to smell burning flesh. You ever smelled burning human flesh? It's not very nice. But see, he's hanging around there. And so many people try to say, I want to go to heaven, but I want to see how much of hell I can hang on to till the last second. Now, isn't it the truth? Rather than trying to say, how far can I get away from that thinking process, they try to see how close they can stay to it and still make it. That's the thinking process of humanity. We've got to separate from it. There were two in the earth, weren't there? One was taken and one was left. Now, there's the picture we've got to get in our head. One of them's got to go. Is it my thinking or God's thinking that has to go? My thinking has to be taken away. That natural man, the carnal mind. Okay. He sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself, his face toward the ground. Good, typical Christian. Going to bow down to another man. Saw two people and going to bow down to him. He recognized there was something godly about him. And you can say, well, that's good. He showed respect. Okay, we can give him that much. But see, that's typically what we're doing. We're bowing down. If you see someone as a godly person, should you bow to them? No. What should you do? Respect them, love them. See, but not honor the man as the man in the flesh. Jesus received no worship when he walked. Worship the Father, absolutely. And he said, Behold now, my lords. This word, my lords, is Adam, Adam, root of Adam. Turn in, I pray you, to your servant's house and tarry all night. He didn't say stick around any longer than that, did he? As long as I'm in ignorance, you can hang around. You start getting some light on this subject, and then I got to move. You guys got to move on. Okay? Think about it. Why did he want them just to stay the night? Why did he want us to keep them for a while? If you see something godly, I want to hang on to it. I don't want to run it off at the end of the morning when the light comes. That's when you should be like Jacob. When the light rose, that's when he said, Hey, this is God. I'm not letting loose now. When that light comes on, them two witnesses hang around. They're liable to bring enough light to expose your lifestyle, right? This is all going on inside of us. He said, Wash your feet, and that's your lifestyle, and you shall rise early and go your way. Get out of here before it gets too light. Don't want it too much exposed. And see, that's where most people are in, quote, church, Christendom, whatever you want to call it. Church world, they want a little bit, but don't want you to hang around too long because you're going to expose things that you don't want to see. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not exposed, you'll never change. You'll never change until you're exposed. Absolutely. Be who you be. And they said, no, but we will abide in the what? The word street is the word square. We're going to abide out there with everybody else, with the rest of humanity, right where they're supposed to be. We're not taking any special treatment. See, there shows you that they're what? Truly messengers of God. Because the messenger of God's not looking for the best motel, the fanciest car, the best clothes. All he's looking for is to accomplish the mission that God has sent him on. Correct? With food and clothing to get the job done. And the words all night wasn't even supposed to be there. That's added words. He said, we're going to abide in the streets. And they pressed upon them greatly, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake what? He baked unleavened bread. What does that represent? There's your Passover experience, absolutely. They're still under the law. They still have to take the unleavened bread. You know what that was really saying? Do you know what the unleavened bread really represents? No. No. It does in one instance, but not what I'm trying to show you here. What it represents is the Word of God with no revelation. There's no life in the Word. You can take a parrot and teach him to quote these words out of this book. There's no life in it. But when you have the revelation of God, it's no longer the unleavened bread, but it's the raised bread. That's what the new covenant was all about in Matthew 26. There's two feasts going on there, and most people don't pay attention. There's two loaves of bread being served there. He said, this was the Last Supper. Yeah, and when that Last Supper's over, now I'm going to bring you the artos, the raised loaf. I'm going to bring you some life. This time's over with. See, we were in that time of vigor. We're not there anymore. We don't need the unleavened bread. Now I need the bread of life, the resurrection bread, okay? And they did eat. See, they were still under the law. He said, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. The whole town was that way. And they called the lot and said to him, where are the men which came to you this night? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Well, they wasn't wanting to check their IDs, I'm going to tell you. It's the same thing in Genesis 4 where Adam knew his wife. What do you think that was? They were going to have a full sexual relationship with them. They were going to abuse those two men. And because their lifestyle was that way in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it wasn't just two cities, that's just two he named. And if you read later on, remember we said he destroyed all the cities of the plain except for one little town called Zoar, didn't he? All the cities. There's many cities that were destroyed. No one knows exactly how many, but there was more than the two. And he says that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door to them and shut the door after them and said, please, not I pray you, please, brethren, do not be wicked. Don't be wicked. He knew they had wicked ideas and plans. Don't do it. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really think the messenger of God needs somebody to go out and protect them? Did these two men ask for any protection? They were willing to stay in the middle of the town, right in the square, right in the public, and just lay down beside of a building and sleep. They were not concerned, were they? No fear. But see, that's what religion does to you. It'll make you fear. And Lot felt like he had to defend these two messengers. Well, you know what? They had the authority to defend him. Lot couldn't defend anybody. Flesh can't defend anybody. It just defends flesh, and it won't do any good anyway. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me now bring them out to you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only to these men do not do nothing, because therefore came they under the shadow or the protection of my roof. He said, they come in here to be protected. Was that true? They were drug in there. They were coerced to come in, weren't they? They didn't say, hey, can we stay at your house? He went out and begged them to come in and stay at his house, didn't he? Sounds like religion. They will kind of twist things, won't they? A little flesh will just twist things around a little bit, make it sound better, exaggerate just a little bit. And they said, what? Stand back. You know that word stand really don't fit where it's at, because it's the word nagash, 5066 in the Hebrew language. You know what it means? It speaks of sexual intercourse. Boy, King James didn't put that one in there, did he? Get out of the way. We got something to do, boys. They had something driving them. Their carnal mind was driving them to have a sexual relationship with these men. So get out of our way. And they said, and the word again shouldn't be there, they said, this one came, and now they're talking to Lot. They're talking about Lot. They said, this one came to sojourn, and he acts like a judge. Now we will do worse to you than to them. And they pressed repeatedly on the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. They said, who are you to come in and press your religious stuff on us? Right? Isn't that what the religious world is doing today? I won't mention names, but a gentleman told me this week his mother's church was collected money for the tsunami victims. And the reason they were collecting money, and this was exactly what he told me, that the reason they collected the money was so they could take and preach Jesus to those people over there. Not to help the people, but to preach Jesus to them. That was the exact statement. Now, what was the purpose? Was it godly? Use that to push their religious ways upon you. Those people over there said, we don't want to hear your Bible stuff. Now, if they don't want it, what are you doing pressing it on them? If you have the love of God in your heart, I don't care if they say, I don't never want a Bible in this country. It still don't relieve you the responsibility of helping them, does it? He loved the ungodly, didn't he? He loved us when we were ungodly, didn't he? So what's the deal? We say, well, they have to do what we think or else God's not going to love them. If you love with those conditions, you're not loving with a godly heart, are you? Just because they don't agree with you, you don't love them. See, that's hypocritical. Of course, that's typical church realm. Absolutely. Out of the lead, not the need. And the lead is to help, then that's what you do. If you're not led to help, then don't do nothing. So you do what God wants you to do when he wants you to do it. Okay, verse 10. Now here comes back. And the men, the two witnesses, the two messengers from God, put forth or reached out their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. So who really needed the protection here? Lot was the one in trouble. Do you think God's messengers are in trouble when they travel? Well, no. He's got them covered, or he wouldn't be sending them on that if he didn't have something for them to accomplish. And if he wants it accomplished, they're going to accomplish it. Just end of discussion there. So our thinking's not right when we think we have to defend God. You don't have to defend anybody. You don't even have to defend yourself. He's the one that's got that responsibility. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so they worried themselves to find the door. Now, look, they blinded them. Who had the power here? You think these men went out there and poked everybody in the eye with a finger? A lot of eyeballs out there, wasn't there? Remember when in the book of Acts where Paul put blindness upon a man and wandered around in a mist, in a darkness for a season? He said, I put darkness on you, blindness on you for a season until you leave us alone. Go on out your way. I don't want to bother me anymore. And they were blinded, and I'm sure this was a temporary thing. Didn't make any difference because they were going to die the next day anyway. Did it? Right? They're all going to die the next day. And the men said to Lot, that's the two messengers, have you any here besides son-in-law, and sons, and your daughters, and whatsoever the house in the city, bring out of this place? Because we will destroy this place because the cry of them has waxed great before the Lord, face of the Lord, that's God, Yahweh the Father, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. This blindness we talked about these people had, there's something still stirring in me about that. This blindness that they had. What do you think it was all about? Does anybody know what Ecclesiastes 3, 10 and 11 says? That God placed the world in their heart so they couldn't see the end from the beginning. What's that sound like right there? He blinded them. He just like Genesis 1:1 or 1:2. He protected their minds while they were in ignorance. See? So what they do, are they accountable for it? They're just accomplishing what needs to be accomplished. So anyway, he tells Lot what's going to go on. Well, you know, the flesh has always got good ideas, but they're not God ideas. Because you spell God G-O-D and you spell good G-O-O-D, right? So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws. That means at least two of them, doesn't it? Which married his daughters. That's two of them too, right? He said, get you up out of this place because the Father will destroy this city. God will destroy it. But it seemed as one that mocked to his son-in-laws. And when the morning arose, then the messengers hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here, lest they be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. Now, let's do something here. He said, first of all, have you got anybody here? And he says, yeah, I got, you know, besides the ones here. In his house, he had two daughters, right? I'm just going to put a D up here for daughters. He had a wife, one wife. And there was, of course, there was Lot, right? That's all that was there, correct? That was all in his house. He went out of his house the next morning trying to bring some more in. Okay? But here's the figure right up there we got to look at first. In this thing the next morning, he went and talked to his sons-in-law. How many would that be? Two for son-in-laws. Okay? He had also had to have two daughters there, didn't he? What else did he have there? Look what he says. He says, two daughters in the house, two daughters and two son-in-laws out of the house. And he also had sons. Sons with what? Sons, so that means at least this many. At least. Okay? Now, the reason I'm showing you this is a total of people. There's three there, and there's how many here? Six. Gives him how many? There's a reason. I just want to show you that while we're here, and I'll bring it up in a second. And it came to pass, verse 17, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life, or with your life. Look not behind you, neither stay thou in all the, what? Not the plain. What it should say is the whole valley of the Jordan River. Get out of this whole valley. It's the valley of the Jordan. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Wonder what mountain he was sending him to. Mount Moriah is the starting place, right? Mount Ophel, Moriah, and then on up to the... You start in Ophel, Moriah, Zion. So he's telling you, you got to go to the mountain. Which one of us don't have to go to the mountain? We all got to go to the mountain. One way or another, we're going to the mountain. But he said, don't look back. And isn't that good advice? What lays behind you? What lays in front of you? Well, let's don't say it future. Present. What's before me right now is present. Now, I'm not looking tomorrow because I can't see tomorrow. All I can see is what's before me right now, present. And God is a present tense God, a now God, right? So we need to look at everything now. I only live now. So I can only do anything that matters now. I can't do anything yesterday, can I? And I can't do anything tomorrow because I'm not there. There's only one place I stand, and that's now. And it's the same with everyone else in this earth. We got to do it now. If I don't do anything now, there won't be anything to stand on tomorrow. Does that make sense? If I don't lay the foundation today, what am I going to stand on today when I step into it tomorrow? There'll never be anything for me to step on out there if I don't start putting the foundation under me right now where I live, where I'm at. Okay, and Lot said to them, oh no, oh no, my, oh no, Lord. Should say to say, oh, said to them, oh no, Lord. Behold, now your servant has found grace in your sight, and you have magnified your kindness, which you have showed to me in what? Saving my life, or by allowing me to live, is what it should say. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Hello, fear. See, that's something that's inherent in every human being, is fear of dying. Until you come to your identity, you will be afraid of dying. Till you know you're a son of God, and the book even says it's appointed unto one to man once to die. What man's he talking about? Not Christ. He's alive forevermore. But it's the Adam man, which must perish. There's no options in this thing. Whether you want it or not, can't make it. Flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God, does it? Okay? So the natural man's got to go. But fear is all over people. And he says, behold, now this city is near to flee to or escape to, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Don't make me climb the mountain. Don't make me climb. Just let me run over here where it's comfortable on this flat, nice, easy road right over to the... Let me take the freeway over to this little town over here. Just fix it. Let me do it. Let me have it my way where it's comfortable, okay? And he says, okay, I see I have accepted you concerning this thing. I will not overthrow this city which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there. For I cannot do anything till you, what? Till you come there. Therefore, the name or the nature and character of this city was called Zoar, which means little. The root word is small out of it. But the main word here should be insignificant. He's saying, you want to go to a place of insignificance when I sent you to the top of the mountain. Isn't that sound like people? Well, it's easier to walk on the flat level ground than it is to climb a mountain. He said, go to the mountain if you want to live. Isn't that been God's mission all through this whole Bible, is to get you to ascend to the mountain of God? not run down in the valley. See, that's easy to stay in the valley. Everything runs downhill, don't it? See? You'll end up in the valley if you stay there long enough. You'll never get out. You've got to climb that mountain. It makes rivers and men crooked. Absolutely. And he said, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So he must have got up early and started doing his religious duties, huh? And the Lord rained from Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Said the Lord rained fire upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah. Brimstone. What is that word brimstone? It's sulfur. The same as the word used brimstone in the Greek language. The word theon is the same word which means sulfur. It's called brimstone there also. It's not correct. I can say it's halfway consistent, but it's not correct. And consistency is no good if it's not correct, is it? You can be consistently wrong. That's not good, is it? So they are consistently mistranslating things. Sulfur was used in every Old Testament sacrifice for what purpose? Purification. It's part of the purification process. So it says that he rained fire, brimstone upon them. That's sulfur and fire. Now, if sulfur is for purification, when fire is also what? Purification. That's just a witness of it. And it was from the Lord out of where? The spirit realm. So what's God saying? He sent sulfur and fire, both. No. He was sending purification. Does anybody know what that's called? Christ. Wasn't he the thing that purified us? He was the sacrifice for us. He was the purification, correct? He made us pure. See, so we have to realize that this was not some natural element like Bob mentioned there. It's not a natural element. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. He was sending a deliverance to us. He was sending the purification that we needed, and he sent it in the form of Christ in humanity, didn't he? And that's the way we got cleansed. So, and he overthrew the cities of all the plain, and that word plain there is the whole valley of Jordan, not just one city, two cities like some people teach you, but it says the whole plain of Jordan. And all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the what? The ground. What do you think grew upon the ground or in the ground? Idolatry, all that stuff. I mean, all the things. We're not talking about plants. I mean, come on. Everything that grows in this natural mind was destroyed. The carnal mind was destroyed where? At the cross. That was the physical part of it, but the spiritual side of it was done before the foundation of the world. So before the carnal mind was ever put into motion, there was already a fix for it. It's a done deal. It's over. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of what? What does that mean to anybody? Preserves. Mm-hmm. She was preserved in a pillar of salt. Why did she do that? Now, she was told not to do it, right? What it's telling you is the soul is not a very obedient thing. Hello? The soul still feels with the emotions. Now, let's go back to those numbers that I showed you a while ago. That's what it was. But look here. Here's 9 reasons why she went back. She looked back. You tell me one woman in the natural that had 9 of her family. What? Okay, 6. Okay, you're right. 6 there. There's 9 total. She had 9 kids. Okay, and son-in-laws and sons. But she had 6 people here of her family that was still back there being cooked alive. And just like you can take the example of taking 500 kids and put them in one room, in a huge room, and all the mamas stand around, and one baby cry out, Mom! And that mom will hear that voice, won't you? She'll know the voice of her children. And don't you think when that city began to burn, there wasn't a lot of screams and yelling going on? With maybe thousands of people burning and dying. And don't you know she heard them? See? But you know why? Because we're still talking about the soul. And the soul is never going to get where we're going. Because the soul and spirit need to be separated by the what? The Word of God. And when the Word of God comes in, it'll separate that emotional thing from you. And you'll be able to make those decisions in life that you have to make. God said, don't look back. I'm not looking back. I don't care what goes on behind me. Do you hear me? I don't care what my woman tells me inside. I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. You hear what I'm saying? She was caught up in her soulish realm. Do you get that? And the soul is never going to be obedient to the Spirit. Remember it says, the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he. Why? Because it's spiritually discerned. How can you ask the soul to do something that only Spirit can do? See? Everybody, when he talked to one man. He said, Lot, don't do this stuff. Don't look back. But see, Lot was responsible to take care of his woman, wasn't he? I think Lot failed here. The flesh will always fail, right? But see, he should have been the one that said, don't look back. He should have reminded her, don't look back. God said, don't look back. Okay? Don't look back. And if you get to there, don't look back. Don't look back. Just what it says. Don't have to add to it. How complicated are those words? Don't look back. Yeah, don't. See, don't. And when you say don't, all he did was brought attention to that thing. So as soon as she started hearing screams, you know what she did. She looked back. And consequently, she was done. For Lot, he didn't look back. See, but Mama did look back because of her baby. She let her soul tell her some things. Okay? And Abraham started early in the morning to the place where he stood in the presence of the Lord. Okay? And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley of Jordan and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a smelting furnace, it should say. When you're smelting that thing, what's burning up? All the bad stuff, isn't it? The bad stuff is burning up, and guess what else is doing? It's purifying. What's smelting furnace for? To purify something, isn't it? It's still the same theme going through here. And it came to pass when God, now this God here is different from the gods that we've talked about already before. This word God is Elohim. And God destroyed the cities of the plain. Now, who destroyed the cities of the plain? Wait a minute, let's back up a minute. Because one place it says down here in verse 13, or it said, for we will destroy this place because the cry of the city of them is waxed great before the face of the Father, Yahweh, and the Lord has sent us here to destroy it. Now, wait a minute. Yes, it is. Now, who did the destroying? The sons. The many-membered sons did. See, the messengers did the destruction. They burn up. Only thing they burn up was things that could be burned up. You don't burn gold up, do you? You don't burn silver up. You don't burn up certain things. You can only burn flesh things. Even if you burn something, you can take the word fire and look in the dictionary. It says to change the chemical properties thereof and always in an upward motion. See, so he's not destroying anything here. He's actually purifying. Okay? He's taking care of all. A flame of fire, absolutely. So, let me see where I'm at again. Okay, yeah. And it came to pass when God destroyed, Elohim destroyed the cities of the valley of Jordan, that Elohim, again, remembered Abraham and sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow, or the destruction, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar. Now, why did he leave Zoar? He said, I want to go there to be protected. And when he seen what was going on in the valley, I guess he reevaluated the situation. This fire may be getting closer than I think it is. Maybe I better run again. What's motivating him? Fear again, flesh, self, carnal mind. Let's go someplace else. Now, had he had done what he said the first place, maybe the rest of this story wouldn't have been the same. But he got himself in a place. He went to the Zoar, in that little insignificant place, right? And he dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for they feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So you know what? There was another man that lived in a cave. David was in a cave. Elijah was in a cave. And that cave represents humanity. They were in the flesh. And when he got in there, he had two daughters, and two speaks of duality. He was still in mixture. He was still in the wrong thinking process. And he let something come out of that. And seed produces like kind. So when Lot had this duality in his thinking, guess what he produced? More flesh. Ammon and what's the other one's name? We'll get there in a minute. Moab, which are symbols of the flesh. And let's see what he says here. They dwelt in the cave. That means they stayed there. And the eldest daughter said to the youngest, "Our father is old, therefore is there not a man in the earth to come into us after the manner of all the earth." Tell me what that statement is. It's the soul speaking, but it's carnal reasoning. See? The same thing that messed Abraham up when God said, "I'll give you a son." And he said, "Well, if I'm getting pretty old, I guess we're going to have to do it. If Sarah can't do it, I'll get somebody else to do it." See? So you start your carnal reasoning, and you're going to try to get in between God and his purpose, and every time you do, you're going to create an Ishmael, aren't you? Every one of us has created Ishmaels in our life. And once we get it done, you can't put that baby back in the womb, can you? She's out. He didn't destroy the whole world. It just all their known world was that little tiny valley. Tiny valley. They were concerned about themselves. Did they trust God? Absolutely not. They said, "Come, let us make our father drink wine." Now, this was not grape juice. It wasn't Welch's grape juice, let me tell you. This was wine. It's the word yayin, okay, in the Hebrew. The Greek word parallel to this is oinos, okay? It's number 3631 in the Greek dictionary, and in the Hebrew word is yayin, and it's 3196 in the Hebrew dictionary. And they both speak of a fermented wine, not grape juice. It's the same wine that Jesus drank in the New Testament. It was a fermented wine. And I know people don't believe that, but I'm going to tell you he did. According to this book, he did. If they wanted grape juice, they could have put down grape juice. They didn't do it. They put down wine, fermented wine. They said, "Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may," what? Not preserve. That word preserve is not in the language. Really, it's revive the seed of our father. Revive the seed. They seen their father as good as what? Dead. They said, "We're going to revive this thing. We're going to keep this flesh going." And in that, the mind of most people, they want to preserve the natural flesh, and they don't care about what God's wanting. Their agenda doesn't line up with God's agenda. Wouldn't you agree? That's their problem. So, and go ahead. And make the outside of the cup clean and the inside's full of all kinds of abominations. Sure. And they made their father drink wine. Yeah, right. The flesh doesn't have to, here, twist my arm. That's enough. That's enough. Yeah. You twist my arm a little bit more. Yeah, that's enough. They made their father drink wine that night, and the eldest daughter went in and lay with her father, and he knew not when she lay down or when she arose. Now, the soul done this thing to him. You know why the soul did to him? Because he give in to it. When you give in to your emotions, I guarantee you, you're going to produce something you don't like. You're going to produce something out of the flesh when you give in to your emotions. How many people out of emotions have ever made a good decision? I don't see any hands. Because you can't make one out of emotions. You think with your heart, not your head, you're in trouble. Emotions will always give you the wrong decision. Okay? Where did I lay off? Verse 34. And it came to pass the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and you go in and lie with him that we may revive the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he knew not when she laid down or when she rose. That man probably had both arms real sore from being twisted behind his back. Okay. That tells you that incest was not some new thing, was it? It's been going on. Is it right? No. But it's a spiritual truth. If they were having it with the wrong man, they were having it with the natural man instead of the spiritual man. And any time that the spirit and is not lined up with, the carnal mind is liable to come up with anything. It's only a picture. When we read about all the incest in this valley and in this Appalachian area, do you think that that tells you something about the spiritual side of this part of the country? Something's wrong. See, because the natural teaches you about the what? If the about the spirit, according to this book, 1 Corinthians 15:45 and 6:46, the natural teaches you about the spiritual. Then when I look at the natural right here and I see all this homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, okay, what does that tell me about the spiritual side of these people? Look at your Catholicism. Okay. On the outside, they look pretty and clean. What's inside of them? I'm not talking about all Catholics. I'm talking about the perverted priest. Okay? I'm just talking about leadership here, not the people. No. They do all this stuff, all kinds of crazy. Yeah. Sure. It's all this going on in the natural tells me there's something wrong spiritually. See, they don't have a complete understanding in the spirit. They only got partial and they got mixture in it. It's the seed of man. It's the seed of the serpent. He's still working. There's always been two seeds in the earth. And this is not the good seed. And they're trying to preserve the seed in the natural, the seed of the serpent, like Cain and Abel. Verse 36, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child or pregnant by their father. And the eldest daughter bare a son and called his name Moab. You know what the word Moab means? Well, no. It represents an incestuous son, but, or flesh, but it means from the mother's father. He's a son from the mother's father. Pretty well nails it down, don't it? If the father had sex with his daughter and had children, that would be from the mother's father, wouldn't it? He'd be the father and the grandfather at the same time. We got a problem. The same is the father of the Moabites to this day. Now, we're not talking about a tribe because you probably couldn't find a tribe called Moabites today, could you? So what is he talking about? It's something going on inside of man. It's this perversion in man, the flesh. And what's in the flesh? All manner of evil. No good thing lies within us. See? It's only the Spirit of Christ that's worth anything. And the younger also, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ami, and the same is the father of children of Ammon to this day. Do you know what his name means?
Well, the word Ben means son of.
Son of, absolutely. Ami, son of my kinsman. I'm the son of my father, but he's my mother's father also. And the same is the children of Ammon to this day. The word Ammon on its own means inbred. He was the incestuous, another incestuous son of Lot. No good thing comes out of it. An inbred son. Absolutely. And see, that's what happens when we get wrapped up in ourselves. And this is what religion does. Now we'll take it back to the cave with the two daughters. When churches do this, and it's not just churches, it's but when we do it, when we get to this idea that we are better than somebody else, we got it and nobody else knows what's going on. Okay? what you'll start to do is you'll start to inbreed. If you don't talk like me and walk like me and dress like me, I can't fellowship with you. What you'll begin to do is you will begin to have incestuous sons and daughters. Thought processes in your mind. You see what I'm talking about? You'll begin to start promoting and having these relationships with the woman in you, your soul, and you'll start to produce things that are perverted sexually, all kinds of perverted thinking in your mind. From that, you'll have sons and daughters of the flesh.